The next stop is
Madison Square Garden.
We are live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third episode of STK Surviving the Knicks. All right, third episode, y'all.
Third episode, a little late because of Ed.
Oh, because Ed. You trying to get him mad? Because Ed's better when he's mad.
He's better when he's mad.
He's better.
Ed plays better when he's mad. So
okay.
Let's get after him today so we can get a good episode. Why are you late?
Here we go. Oh, man. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am Just Heck. I got the prestigious STK crew. Ed Dollars, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, man? I'm a little disappointed in Julius Randle, but everything else is good.
Hashtag. Anyway, we got the infamous Coach B in the building.
Yes.
Steal your players from your fantasy league.
Listen. Save that for the end of the segment. I mean, save that for the end of the show, all right?
My bad. You're right.
No crying on TV.
You're absolutely right. And last but not least, the indomitable Wall Street Heck. What's going on, my brother?
What's up, man? Excited. Right. Let's go.
All right. So, obviously, things have not progressed as much as we wanted from last week, right? The Knicks, unfortunately, are 2-4 to start the season. They're not being blown out, though. I mean, they got beat handily. No, they haven't lost bad at all. Like, they've been competitive in every game, which is a good thing, right? Yeah. I think it's just minor changes that have to be made, and maybe a player or two may need to go. Like you guys said, the first 10 games, you guys are monitoring that. We're 6 games in, they're 2-4. They've been competitive in every game. The games that they've won really well. The games that they lost is turnovers, costly turnovers, and slow starts, right? To start off the night, Ed, contrast between this week's games. Like, what stood out, and what were your thoughts on this week's games?
These are my thoughts, man. Seriously.
Here we go.
Just to throw some numbers out to you, the Knicks are currently averaging 103.3, which is 30th in the league. Their rebounding is 50.8, which is 2nd in the league. Assists per game is 21.2, which is 28th in the league. Opposing field goal percentage is 2nd in the league. And effective field goal is 46.8%, which is 30th in the league. So what does all that mean? That means offensively, we've been trash. Defensively, we've been okay. And thus, seemingly, if you haven't watched the game, Just Heck, you think that we are in every game. But when you watch the game, these guys are struggling to put the ball in the basket. You know, we don't have any three-point issue. We have a lot of three-point issues. We don't have a middle penetration to pass the ball. You know, I love Jalen Brunson, but he's not passing it to anyone. He's not penetrating to pass. He's penetrating to score. And most importantly, Julius Randle right now has the worst field goal percentage of any player that averages more than 10 minutes per game in the NBA.
It's like 27%, right? Was it like 23% or something like that?
It's terrible. 24.8%. He's playing horrendous. You know, we're not the best team. You know, we're scheduled to be bounced in the second round. So we got to win the winnable games. And Milwaukee was winnable. All the games this week was winnable. We had Milwaukee. They couldn't defend anybody. And we had them. And it took like some Herculean effort by Jalen Brunson scoring 45 points in 42 minutes. Yeah. At the same time, Randle went 4 for 15, 4 for 16, something ridiculous. And the most important part of that entire game is when Brunson had the game-winning shot, Randle was in the corner with his hands up, shrugging, And then he didn't even get back on defense, and he scored another shot to win the game.
Yep.
I mean, seemingly it doesn't look bad, but Randall looks pretty bad. And it can snowball. The other thing I didn't like was Josh Hart's minutes, nor Dante DiVincenzo. Josh Hart, you know, God bless him, he's a good rebounder. But that's basically it. You know, when we get offense, we got to have quickly in there. And Dante can't make layups. He's a good penetrator, but he can't make layups at all. Those are my thoughts, man.
Well, he also got blocked a lot.
he got blocked a lot because he can't make layups because he's too small.
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, Coach, you want to add on to that?
It's tough to watch, but, like, they're playoff teams. And, yeah, they're winnable. But same thing I mentioned about, like, getting an easy basket with more athletic players. So figuring that piece out is definitely going to be a game changer. I wasn't happy with Jalen Brunson's shot selection either for that Milwaukee game. But, yeah, Julius Randle just killed us. Took the life out of the team with that.
I mean, and Ed, I've been watching. I mean, I was trying to be nice. But you're right. You're right. Yo, you hit on the button. You're right. You're right. And honestly, Coach, Brunson kept you in the game. Like, I think he's going through the syndrome where he's kind of not really trusting his teammates enough because they're not really making shots. And, you know, after a while, if people are not making shots, you driving and kicking. If it's not producing none? I mean, I got the highlighting backing me for a reason. Like, this kid, listen, man, Brunson, this was a winnable game. All the games have been winnable to me, except for the Pelicans game. That was the only one that was out of control. But all the rest of the games were winnable. He could have won them. It could have went either way. It's just the slow start and Julius, which, you know, we'll get to in a minute, I guess.
If you have Julius shooting the way he's shooting and he controls 30% of the offense, we're not going to win. You know, it's always going to be a close game because, again, our offense is terrible. Our defense is strong. We're always going to be in it. But when it gets to nut
crunch time,
cracking time, we won't be able to do much because we're only relying on an undersized point guard, which is great, but we don't got any other shot makers. And Quickley's not getting enough time. I mean, you got Josh Hart in there, like, barreling down the middle, but beyond that, what's he really doing? Grabbing rebounds, that's it.
You think that's a management thing, that he's not getting those minutes?
Yeah, I do. He shouldn't be getting those minutes.
He's been playing his ass
quickly.
On. Yeah. Might be a management thing. They might be telling Tibbs, like, yo, we ain't giving him that extension. You know, let's control his minutes. I don't know, not to be controversial or anything like that.
I don't know, man. That's a hot take.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying because I think it's a little weird that Quickley's not getting minutes when every time he's gotten the minutes, he's performed. He showed out. Like, I don't get it, you know. But it might just be bad coaching too.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, it's definitely bad coaching. Go ahead, Wall Street.
I think for the first time, I think that the minutes have been spread out pretty well. I haven't really seen a problem with
shit.
That. I would have loved to see Randall bench for a couple of minutes in the end of the game. I tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to have a bad attitude when you're shooting well. You know what I'm saying? But it's another thing, you know, when to have that kind of and I hate to have the Julius Randle bashing continue. Cause I feel like that's all we've done for the last 5 minutes. But it's like, if you come into this game with those kind of shooting numbers and you do all the other little things, then it makes it all go away. You know, winning cures everything. And to be that close and we couldn't get, you know, Julius Randle to run back on defense. I actually thought, and this is probably going to be, you know, I actually thought that he should have actually got the last shot of the game. As bad as he's been playing, he started to kick it up in that last few minutes. And that's on Jalen Brunson. You got to feed the hot hand. So yeah, he's been playing bad, but he just hit. He just rang off like 8 points straight, like before that last shot. you know, and he was attacking more, and he would have a couple more points if he was hitting his free throws. So he's getting to the line, you know. So, but I will say this, man, and it's a good time to say this. You know, this is probably like being cheap, but you know what? First 10 games don't count, baby. First 10 games don't count.
Right, they do count. Every game counts.
When you shoot 24%. Yeah,
it's not 72 games. It's not 72. It's 82. Oh,
man. Let's have a talk game 12, game 13. Once everything is flowing the way it's supposed to be. You know what? I think that the minutes have looked good. I think that the offense is still playing way too much ISO ball. And when Quickly comes out, Quickly's going to shoot. There's no offense when Quickly comes out. You know, Quickly's going to come out. Everybody else play defense. And one more thing that I'll say about Tibbs, we're definitely playing too much ISO ball. And I see that he's trying to push the pace. And I think that with our starting five, that's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. You need to teach the starting five to slow the game down. Let the bench run. Let them run. They're young. They don't shoot well. They're still developing.
It's a little hard. Game. That's a little hard, though, Wall Street.
Let them run.
You're in a running league.
All right, like, coach. Let me tell you. But, coach, I mean, heck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in a running league. But mm-hmm. in the last 5 minutes of a meaningful game, there's very few fast breaks. If you can't get into your set in the first quarter of game 12, then how are you going to get into your set in the fourth quarter of game six of a closeout series? I need you to be able to come up the court as a unit, take a deep breath, put that hand up, call your play, and get into the set that the other scouting report has been talking about. It's not a surprise where we're going to go. You know where we're going to go. This is our play, and we're going to ram it right down your neck. We don't got that play. What we got is Jalen Brunson goes, and then Randall goes. And then when Barrett comes back, we definitely miss Barrett, but we're not supposed to miss Barrett this much. You know, but just to round it all up, the attitude has been horrible, but it's only the first 10 games. So no reason to hit the panic button yet. But besides that, Tibbs got to slow the offense down. There's no reason why we should be running fast breaks after makes in the first quarter against a good team.
Fair thoughts. Coach, question. I think you might know where this is going, but when do we start blaming coaching? Is it fair to keep blaming the player struggles on players? Listen.
Here it is. When you start slow, right, you mm-hmm. come into a game and you're not ready to hit a shot, you don't have the IQ or the awareness to say, I gotta get to the free throw line. Like, that's a player's thing. Mm-hmm. But I hate to piggyback, but to piggyback off Wall Street, we're still within the first 10 game threshold. Like, a lot of guys are still trying to figure themselves out what kind of play they want to be this year. I don't know how RJ pulled it off. I don't know who he was working out with, but like, he was able to come into the season and establish himself in ways he hasn't in years past.
It's like New York's been soft ever since Snoop came through and crushed the buildings.
Yo, so RJ like,
chances like crazy.
RJ coming in and like being productive in the way he is, you know, it's a tone setter. It's a difference to what Brunson and Randall want to do. And obviously, they're supposed to be a 1-2 punch that's not coexisting right now. So like, that's terrible.
But is that their fault, or is that
Tibbs' fault? It's definitely a Tibbs problem when guys are going to not get back on defense and give up a possession, because Chris Middleton walked into the lane and found a cutting. Mm-hmm. Lillard to make it a 6-point game, I think, or a 5-point game, and then a free throw. So that's like annoying. It's super frustrating. It's crazy to watch as a professional do stuff like that. Like, his kids mm-hmm. got to see him act like a child when he doesn't get the ball, which is crazy. But overall, he has some pieces that he's trying to integrate, and that's what's going on. Quickly's playing great. Mitchell Robinson is Mitchell Robinson. Brunson's playing decent. Not his best basketball, but as you can see coming out of the last game, like there's definitely a lot of room to grow there. And everyone else is just a role player. So, like, the main pieces that we expect to get baskets from outside of Julius Randle is doing their job. So, I'd hate to say, even though we're 2-4, it's not a coaching problem just yet. And as far as taking advantage of, like, opportunities and slowing the game down, we don't have a good set. It's unfortunate that we don't have a better offensive mind allowed to draw something up for the guys because we don't have any good sets. It's a handoff. It's a
it's not creative at all. Yeah. Like,
it's the worst offense in the NBA.
Like there's and nothing.
Yeah, literally. It's 30 scoring.
We're trying to find like nice words for it, but it's literally the worst offense in the NBA.
But to be number two in rebounding, I do like that because we're crashing, we're fighting hard. Yeah. Josh Hart gets a lot of rebounds, okay? You don't need five guys that can score. You need one guy, you know, that can get a rebound, Ed, you know, and, like, just, like, do all the dirty work. So that's what I am going to say. Josh Hart does all the dirty work. But keep quickly in there as much as you can. Play small. Like, take Randall out, play small. Josh Hart at the four, and, like, let us pray that way. We're not like the most talented team, but if Brunson's gonna be hot, let him stay hot. Like he hit 8 threes when Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Like he's capable of doing more. So let Julius Randle figure it out on his own time. Like I'll take that as long as it doesn't go deep into the season. Obviously, he should shape up. He's an all NBA third team. He's a 40-point scorer, could get 50. You know, he's a triple double guy. Like though those things are very helpful. I don't want to push the panic button on Julius Randle, but someone has to really have a conversation with him about that little BS he'd be doing.
New York is in a really bad conundrum.
I'm just concerned that in the last 4 or 5 years that Julius has been with the Knicks, he's had good year, bad year, good year, bad year. Now we're back into the bad year, and we should have probably sold high on him. I was a big, trade Julius for years. And yeah, he's all NBA
season two. Since season two.
But then the following year, he was all trash team, you know. And you know, the problem with Julius and the problem with Tibbs is they're stubborn and they play a stubborn way. And why aren't they working the pick and roll with Mitch? Why is Mitch not getting any lob threats? My man led the league last year, the year before that, in field goal percentage. Why can't he get a pick and roll? His agent's complaining about him not getting any type of touches. You got to feed the big man, you know, that bottom line. We make it so hard when things are so easy. Why is Julius, after shooting 3 for 15, 4 for 16, like for the last five games, complaining that Brunson is taking the last shot when the man got 45 points?
You know what I'm saying? It's just,
why is Josh Hart in there? Why is Josh Hart getting 36 minutes and quickly getting like 18?
Josh Hart is going to rebound.
Coach, I agree with you. In the AAU, the high school, is the players. In the NBA, it's the coaches.
We got a Tibbs problem.
We got a Randall and Tibbs problem. And until those things go away, we're going to have issues all year.
Yeah, but you're not going to complain when Quickly's averaging
14. I'm going to complain.
Quickly is averaging 14, 5, and like 3 or something right now. RJ started out the year strong. He's averaging, 23? 20, 20, and
22. 22 right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a Tibbs problem, but he's gotten guys to take the next step. And maybe if Quickly's minutes is being restricted, whatever. DiVincenzo is not looking like a good signing right now. Right now, they need a floor general on the floor with that group. We're missing a lot of
enabling in this conversation.
We're missing the Derrick Rose factor.
Yo, is it me or is Dante putting too much jelly on his layups? Yo, he He like flicks his wrist too much, yo, and it just goes off. This
ain't and one. That's a player problem.
Yo, heck, pull that highlight up. Dante attacking the basket.
There isn't any. There isn't any. I don't know. Honestly, the Knicks they're in a bad spot where they should have sold high on Julius and gotten what they could. And you guys are in this cyclical issue where your best player is your worst player, and you keep waiting for him to be the player that you want him to be.
I'm not.
And he's never going to be. It's like women waiting on their cheating husbands to change. It's like bro, like it's
clip that up. Clip
he's
that
never
up.
He's never gonna be what so you
next
want
that
him
one.
To
next
be.
That. Next that. Next that.
Oh my god. All right. Either way,
you can't, Julius, right? There Julius is no selling
out. Not going to be the player you want him to be. I'm sorry. You guys, like, listen, he's been, yes, third NBA. He's got the accolades, but he's the things that he is not, right, are very blatant and out there. He's not a leader, number one. He's not your leader, okay? Give me a moment where he's been the guy. Not through actions, not just through scoring points, because everybody can score points. This is a scoring league right now. So everybody can score. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just is what it is. But he's not your leader. He's your bully. He's your bully. Like, him barking on Jalen Brunson because for whatever reason, Jalen didn't see him or whatever. It was like, who do you think you are shooting 4 for 1,000?
All NBA 13.
No. $100 million
man.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen again.
$100 million man.
You got to humble yourself.
I don't think that's going to happen again.
You got to humble yourself.
Like, I don't think he's going to make the All-Star game this year.
Listen, knowing the Knicks, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm just saying, like, he's never going to be the player that y'all want him to be.
There's no selling high on Julius.
He peaked. He peaked, and really in 2021.
I think he peaked too.
And so
NBA
now,
third team last year,
right.
Second round.
But Julius, playoff, but Jalen Brunson was the guy that carried y'all for that
second round of the playoffs.
Keep it all a NBA
third team All Star. Listen, I hate him, but I'm just saying.
He made an All Star team last year. But he didn't make the All Star team the year before that.
Statistically, right, definitely. But from the standpoint of forget, like, he's just. He's not the guy, bro. Like,
who do you get? Like, there's no selling high on Julius. There's
let's
no
selling high on Julius. Let's get Cat.
Ship him out and you get
nothing. Let's just do it. Let's just do it.
Do it. Yeah.
Let's just do it. Like, we need something different.
Because you keep coming back, Cat.
We got to get rid of Tibbs because Tibbs won't be able
to say Cat. Cat is not, you know, all these guys that you name are have a, like, the price is high, man. Especially because they know the Knicks are kind of desperate. Like, it's not good to look desperate. Just stand
and by the way, it's not just us talking about this. Bill Simmons said this. Like a bunch of podcasts have been talking about Julius's play and the fact that the Knicks haven't. The Knicks fan TV said this that he's, you know, now truth be told, he's coming off of ankle injuries, and ankle injuries take a little bit of time. And that messed up the rhythm.
Attorney.
And maybe that has something to do with it. I hope so.
He didn't play in the summer, and he's one of the biggest figures in summer 5-on-5s. You know, he's big on summer basketball, and he didn't get no summer basketball in this year. If you want to make excuses, if that's what we're doing.
A lot of them going around.
Defending Julius. I love it.
That's why you should change his podcast to defending Julius.
I want to and you know, and you mentioned those podcasts and the newscasters, you know, they hear these things, you know what I'm saying? They hear the people talking. And you know, we could look a lot different once RJ comes back and if Julius shakes these shooting struggles. Because we know that honestly, at the end of the day, fellas, this is the best Knicks team that we have ever seen since I've known all of your ugly faces. This is the best team that we've seen.
Thank you.
You know, this is the best team by far, you know. And
you know me for like 16, 17 years. That's not true.
No, he says since we started the podcast, this is the best team. This is the best team.
But even then,
give me Nerlens Noel. Give me Nerlens Noel. Not for paying.
Even then, Ed, you know what I'm saying? When I met you, we weren't in the glory days of Melo. The days of Melo were diminishing by the time, you know. So these are literally the best teams that we've had. And I'm not sure if that's true statistically, but look at it. It definitely has to be. We definitely have to be up there. We have a really good squad. You know, you want to add something else positive? Look at the score of some of these games. You know, we're keeping the score down, and I think that's the sign of a good team. You know, especially defensively, it's definitely the sign of a good team defensively. But we're keeping the score low. And I think that once RJ comes back, we need two things to happen. When RJ comes back, but here's the thing, too. RJ comes back now. He's been playing as well as he's been playing, right? But the Knicks have been struggling. So now he comes back, and that's going to be a little bit of added pressure to him now, because they're going to be looking at him like, all right, you're the savior now. You know, like you're going to cure the wounds of the last, you know, of the opening week. It's just the opening week. But you got to be, we got to watch out for that RJ doesn't come back flat. How sad would that be if RJ comes back flat and Julius continues his struggle?
It's still early.
What's going to be really sad is tomorrow when we play the Clippers and it's Harden. It's going to be Harden, Kawhi, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook. Try to take us out.
In its rawest form, because they're just coming together. But this is, again, that's a winnable game because the chemistry ain't there. So if they don't win that game, then the questions continue. They're going to fester because, again, you got Julius Randle, who is going to be matched up against Kawhi. He's going to probably have problems. He's going to take a bad shot. He's not going to. And, you know, and that's why I think I ask you, coach, is this a coaching issue? Because the coach is supposed to ream in the player and be like, bro, you're shooting a bad shot. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's not your shot.
You got to, unfortunately, as a coach, you got to ride with certain horses. It's like you start looking down the bench. And this, I've seen Julius hit these shots before, right? I haven't seen Hartenstein hit these kind of shots. I haven't seen Jericho Sims hit these kind of shots. So why am I putting them in the game over him? Like,
what kind of bench him? But he's got to coach him. I don't think there's enough coaching.
Sims doesn't coach offense. We know that.
We got no sub for him.
For me, now it's like, from here on out, we'll be overachievers the rest of the way. Let's not start off strong because the expectations are there.
That's what,
Clip this up. There's no way the Knicks don't make the playoffs. Like, it has to be a disaster of a tank for the Knicks not to make the playoffs. So there's no way the Knicks don't make the playoffs. That's the important part. The key is, though, like, again, if Randall's not ready, right? If he's not in real game chemistry form, he got 10 to 12 games to figure that part out. There's another 70 after that. So he has time to figure that part out. And Barrett's fine. Brunson's fine. Quickly's fine. You
think Julius could take a step back to let RJ flourish?
Not at all. He has to get going.
He did it. We've been playing well. He's doing it. We've been playing well.
We're 2-4. It's not that well.
I don't think he has done it, though. I think RJ has done it in spite of Julius. I think he's done it in spite of Julius. I don't think he's done it because Julius took a step back. I think when you're shooting bad, you got no choice, really, right? And, I mean, RJ is kind of coming to his own, but I don't think Julius did the right thing by the team to say, hey, I'm going to take a step back. And,
you know, I will say this. Whether the eye test proves that true or false, who leads the team in assists right now?
Julius, right?
There gotta be a couple of guards out in the league, at least one or two. a couple of point guards that don't got exactly Jalen Brunson, that don't got five assists. And I would have liked Jalen Brunson to kick out that last shot. I understood that. He drove, he took a check, and he had a chance to reset. I'm not saying that the ball shouldn't have been in his hands. I'm saying that he got a chance to reset, and instead of resetting, then he was feeling himself a little bit too much, and he took a bad shot. But Julius had taken really bad shots.
It looked a lot like
Miami.
At that point, we're down one.
What?
At that point, we're only down one, and then guess what happens? The boy don't get back on defense. The rest is... It's clipped up.
Yeah, exactly. The rest of history.
I mean, only did he not get back on defense, he was walking. He saw the other players, the other teams running up and down. He still kept on walking. He was like languishing out there. It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. You could bet Randle gets 10 rebounds. You could bet Randle gets 5 assists. I think that as a real coach, if Tibbs was like, I know you got to work you got to look at your best players and say you got to ride us out. And Randle for the last several years has been one of the best players. I can't lie about that. But maybe it's time for him to take a step back offensively and do the things that he does well, like rebounding, like assists. I don't mind him taking a ball and passing it off. But why do you got to take like 20 shots when it's not working out? Don't you feel
the highest paid player?
But that's
the problem with the NBA today, man. That's the problem with the NBA today. It would have been nice to see him on the bench in the last 3 minutes. Talk about sending a message. Put him on the bench in the last 3 minutes. Let Hartenstein run the floor. Why not?
By the way, Hartenstein's been playing great.
Hartenstein has
been playing great.
Not to just dump
on everybody, not to dump on Julius, but and to switch it to other players. What's up with Grimes? Grimes is supposed to take this massive leap. Grimes. That's all we heard. And he looks exactly the same from last year.
Because there's no opportunity for him.
RJ wasn't playing. There's a lot of opportunity. No,
there's still too many mouths to feed. If you expect me to be a scorer, right, and I'm like fifth in usage, how does that work?
Hey, listen.
He controls that, right? Doesn't he control that?
You guys need to take a much closer look. Grimes right now is playing amazing at the things that you don't see, at getting through tough picks, at contesting shots, at boxing out. Grimes, we haven't touched up on it. We haven't touched up on it, but he's been playing well.
He is the exact same player as last year. All the things you're talking about that we don't see, he did that last year.
He stepped it up this year, man.
Him to take a leap offensively because we thought he'd be an amazing two-way player. Yeah. He still plays good D.
He rushes his shot. For some reason, I feel like he's like, I want the quickest release in the league over I want to have the highest shooting percent. Why do you shoot so fast? Take a break, buddy.
Why you shoot so fast? Big fella, let me explain.
He's like shooting like he's got a dinner reservation or something.
If you're not sure when you're going to get the ball, it's kind of hard to be ready to shoot, right? Because you can sit there, be spot up, be ready. There's also a lot of movement involved, right? You got to get out of a certain guy's way. And then sometimes they just throw it when you're not looking and it's like, oh, let me just throw this shit up. Like, a lot of the sets that the Knicks run is like, yo, clear out, give him some room, and be ready to shoot so he kicks it out to you. And it's very sad for someone of Grimes' skill set, because if you get him off a screen or two, you know, let him catch and shoot it, let him turn and go downhill off of a back pick or something, it'd be interesting. But again, it's like, give this guy the ball, let him work for a little bit, and the rest is history. So it's tough to watch. I still am a fan of Grimes' game, but yeah, if you're like the fifth option, like eight points per game is nice.
He needs to slow that release down a little bit. What the heck is going on?
Wall Street, last question of the night. So obviously after the Bucks game, I'm on Twitter or X. I'm kind of in the streets digitally, and there's a lot of different types of conversations, right? And there was a lot of debate between whether the team should prioritize like the short-term success or focus on long-term rebuilding, right? It was a lot of back and forth. it got a little heated. Some of this stuff got a little hilarious with memes and stuff. But what do you think is the best recourse for the Knicks? I mean, obviously, we're not through the 10 games, but people are calling for different things, like trading Julius. Do you prioritize the short term, or do you start thinking about the long term? What are your thoughts?
For the first time in my life, we are headed in the right direction. We are looking like an organization that a free agent would want to sign with. And that's where you get the icing on the cake. You build your foundation in the draft. You build your foundation trading for good veterans. But we've seen it before. You cannot build a win now team in the NBA. That you might get away with that in baseball sometimes, but you cannot get away with that in a game that involves the kind of running and the kind of physicality that basketball requires. You need young horses to run the hell out of the court. And then you need some solid vets to keep all the dogs in line. But you can't build a team around vets. This Clippers thing is going to be beautiful, but it's going to crash. We know it's going to crash. And if you don't know that it's going to crash, then you're not watching close enough. The key to success in the NBA is youthful exuberance and team chemistry. You need young guys that can grow together. I need you to come together before the age of 25. And then when all of you guys get 28, 30, we have a team that might win. And if you're looking at Denver, they did similar things. If you looked at Philadelphia, they were doing it. And then it kind of all collapsed. But Philadelphia went from the last team in the league to still today a contender by building the right way. And it doesn't always work, but it works more than just going out and like, you know what the Clippers did? They said, get me the 2016 All-Star team, you know? and teams have done that. Teams have been doing that forever, you know? And you get away with that in the baseball sometimes. Sometimes you might get away with that in the regular season. But, you know, I think the most famous one was that Charles Barkley squad, right? Well, what was the rest of that squad? Charles Barkley and everybody, right? Who Houston? Else he had?
Clyde. Talking about in Houston or in Phoenix?
Yeah.
No, that was in Houston. They were old.
Think about the names on the court at that time. Yeah. You know, they were like legends. You know,
LeBron, AD.
LeBron and AD are good Kyrie, example of that.
LeBron.
Yeah. When you bring in the greatest player of all time to a team, it kind of tips the scales a little bit. But we're talking about guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Paul George, which at one point were really good, but you know, they were probably closer to the bottom five than the top three. So yeah, when you throw LeBron in, LeBron is doing something that nobody has ever done. But when you take a bunch of veterans, a bunch of legends, and you throw them on the team, it works much less often than it does, you know,
Did you just say LeBron James is the best player ever?
I'm gonna tell you one thing. He's the greatest 38-year-old of all time. He's the greatest 37-year-old of all time. And I could go all the way down to about 28 years old. And then at about 28, there's some questions. But he was probably the greatest 33-year-old player of all time.
That's funny you say that because Michael Jordan won a championship in his 33rd year. So I don't think so.
But in his 33rd year, I think LeBron had a couple was scoring more points per game. He had a much higher.
Jordan won a championship 33, 34, 35.
Yeah. What were the years that he didn't even get into the playoffs? And at what age did he stop playing?
In the 80s. In the 2000s.
All right. Listen, okay. One of the great, when you throw the greatest player of this generation, all right? So the numbers get thrown off. But the greatest player of this generation, Jesus. What are you gonna put? You gonna put James Harden? But yeah. Anyway, but that's why to answer your question, Heck, we need to continue down the road that we're going. Knicks fans need to be patient. You might go to the Knicks fans that are being impatient. A lot of cities, a lot of fans of a lot of teams will go an entire lifetime without their team ever winning a trip. So get over yourselves, all right? The best we could do is try to be better every year and try to, you know, have a good organization that has an opportunity every year. That's the best. And that's where we are now. We're going to have opportunities to get in for the next 3 or 4 years. And if we continue down that path, we could continue to grow off of that. And that's what's important.
Yo, but Wall Street, other than me, you guys haven't seen the Knicks win a championship. Knicks won in like 1978.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was 70, born 72. In like 80.
It was 72 yeah, so, that they won.
So you are free. So you are free to die happy. But if I die and we still got Julius
that was
Randle,
like one.
I'm going to be in limbo. I'm going to be watching reruns of Knicks games for all eternity. Like, no. No. I'm gonna be in.
See, the biggest problem with what you're saying is that right now the Knicks have everything that they need to be able to compete. They have young draft, they have young players, they have good contracts, and they have draft capital. And usually when good managed teams have those three components, they produce something. You know, whether it's Golden State, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's, you know, even Denver, we're getting Aaron Gordon. You know, like, we need to do something with our draft capital, and that's why we should have the Thunder. That's why we should have, like, sold high on Julius to get something else. We got, this is our time. You know, right now is a time we have to, like, pounce on and get another superstar. Obviously, what our offense needs is someone else, right? I mean, I love RJ. I love Brunson. But we need an alpha, a guy that can run with Brunson so that the offense is not the 30th in the league, but like the 15th in the league, the 10th in the league. You know what I'm saying? And that, with our defense, makes us a powerhouse.
I think the Knicks are a piece away.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, and I'm not for blowing up the team. But I am 100% for not, you know, settling for this team. I would probably be pretty upset if I don't continue to hear about moves happening in the pipeline. You know, those things always got to be active right now. You know, you shouldn't, unless you want a chip, you probably shouldn't be coming in with the same roster. You know, unless you're a top three team, if you were 4th, 5th, 6th or below, you should be making adjustments, right? You're not going to be coming in with the same exact roster that you did last year. But that's the thing with this team. Every year since we took Porzingis, it's been a few steps forward, and then we'll have a step back, but another few steps forward, and then another step back. I thought last year, the year before last year, was a step back, but I thought last year was a step forward. And this year, I thought, man, we were about to take two forward steps in a row. And we got off to a real slow start. But, you know, 10 games don't matter. Yeah, exactly. First 10 games don't count. As much as y'all want to laugh at that, and it's a real nice time for us to say that, you know, it's something that is said. And it's universally said for a reason. Because the first 10 games don't count. Because everybody's getting in a rhythm. Even the reffing has been a little bit rough around the edges. Around the league. I'm seeing it around the league.
Yeah.
Is it a rebuild or not? And I say not. Like, from what we have, again, all this trade Julius business, you're not going to get equal value, right? You got to ride it out. And I seriously think around the league, people are trying to, like, strip the Knicks, like, for every dollar they have. Like, they are trying to milk us to give us whatever they don't want, which doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like, you know, we're asking for your best player and it's of an equal value. No, you're trying to get rid of the guy, but you're really trying to milk us dry, get whatever we, you know, everything that we have. And I think management has been smart on that point. It's a shame to still have Julius Randle at this point and have him do the stuff that he does, but it gets no better. Like, OB obviously also still trying to figure it out, and he's been healthy. So it's like, where's the upgrade? Where's the improvement? You cannot name one person that was like, oh, it was a no-brainer deal, and we messed that up. Like,
yo, so, we need to have a new segment on the show. It's called It's called Coach B's Obi Toppin Check, where he gives us a quick rundown on the life and path and career of Obi Toppin. Yo, he's gone, my brother. I love him, but he's gone, bro. He ain't coming back.
It hurt to see a lot of players leave. Like, especially
he shot after, 4 for 5 yesterday. We got 11 points.
All the guys that get drafted, I want to see them points. Like, Porzingis, he got into his own situation. That broke my heart. Like,
Jumper, starters averaged 36 minutes. He's playing like 23.
Oh, my God. Crazy. You got to let that go, Coach. You got to let him go.
I want to see him go. He's doing well, man. And the homegrown guys. Anybody from New York that puts him in? I want to see him do well. Shout out to Kimbo over there in the EuroLeague.
Free Obi.
Coach been tuning into all of Obi's games.
He got the league pass just for Indiana.
I'm still like... Googling Kevin Knox and like I get no response on that.
Exactly. I mean, Knox just don't have it.
I'm like, Kevin Knox, where are you?
I'm like, yeah, he's never had the whiskey. Oh my God. He's trying to kill me tonight. Oh my God. Well, I mean, hey, I don't think you blow this up, but you gotta figure out Julius. Because he's more of a negative impact right now. Like, even if things get better, which they will, because the Knicks have been competitive this whole time, minus one game, right? And even in that Pelicans game, they did come back somewhat. But I think you have to look at Julius. You were never going to get an equal value for Julius because Julius, he's the Knicks one, but he goes to another team. He's their 2 or 3. So
3 or 4.
Right. Exactly. So what value were you expecting to get? You know what I'm saying? Like you weren't going to really ever get anything of value, like of high value, but you could get picks. You could get that. You got to be creative with this shit.
Nobody's stealing.
Because he's not, because in truth, he was, you know, you look at the Philly deal that was floated out there, that was leaked, right? And that was leaked on purpose. But you think, what would the Philly manager be looking at? They're looking at Julius shooting 24% from the field. They're like, why do we need that in Philly? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a good trade. We got a guy cooking in Embiid. Like, he's the MVP. We don't need, you know what I'm saying? So you got to figure something out. And if the coaching can't coach him and the players can't relate to him, they can't really, he's barking on them and bullying them. Like this shit is sounding like domestic violence at this point. It's like, yo, you're battered and bruised and you're still keeping them. You got to let them go. You got to cut the ties. I don't know what else to say. I'm looking at the 6 games that I've been watching, and Julius has been bad in 5 of the 6. He was okay in one of them. He wasn't good. He was okay. The other 5 games, he was bad. He got locked up by Holiday. He got outplayed, you know what I'm saying, by Zion. I mean, the list goes down the line. I mean,
Giannis.
It's the optics. I'm not, this isn't coming from a personal place. This is coming from what I'm seeing. And I have not seen anything that warrants you keeping him that dates back to last year in the playoffs, in which Jalen Brunson was the guy. You know what I'm saying? Which, in truth, I don't know if Julius was your all-star. I think Jalen Brunson was your all-star.
Without a doubt, that was confrontation. You know, that was a what's the word?
You know,
you don't know.
Controversial. It was controversial. I thought he should have made it. I don't know.
That was conversational.
Conversation.
Yeah, right. It was controversial, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah,
word of the day. We should have a segment. Word of the day.
Word controversial. Of the day. Hey, I don't know. I'm just looking at the optics. I'm looking, you know, I'm the guy on the outside. And I'm just looking at the serving size. RJ's been playing well. Jalen Brunson's playing all right. He's picking it up. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's kind of trying to figure it out. And then you got Julius Randle shooting bad shots against defenders he should be killing. He should be killing them. He's third, to point out what you said, Coach. He's third team all NBA. He's the $100 million man. You can't figure out how to score over a dude that's six, that's giving up 4 inches and 40 pounds? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You can't figure it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Again, you don't panic and you start trading everybody after 10 games. I guess that's what Wall Street and Coach B is really, really saying. And I agree. You can't just start. The only problem is that, again, you know, we're not the best team, you know? So these wins help us. And we were all in these games. And we could have won half of those games if we had something of marginal value at that position or even less. If we had less of him and more of someone else, we would have won those games. You know what I'm saying? You know, RJ not playing in two of those games didn't help. You know, we don't have any wing penetration, and RJ is the guy that really attacks the rim. That's where I wanted Grimes to kind of step up. You know, yes, he doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot, but when someone's out, someone has to step in quickly as well. Very and true. Tibbs playing, you know, Josh Hart a bunch of minutes just to get a bunch of rebounds. You know, I kind of looked at the last like five champions to see if offensive rebounding really, really, really matters. Denver was a top five offensive rebounding team, but the rest of the teams that won a championship and the other teams that were in the playoffs, you know, offensive rebounding and rebounding in itself, you got to make shots. You don't. Yep. You know, these guys are getting their own rebounds, but they're not making the shot after that. So does it really matter? You gotta think outside the box, and I feel like we're still coaching the same way. And when a player, back to the coaching point,
got the same coach.
When a player is not doing well, what do you do? How do you fix it? Do you fix it by letting him just dominate and getting him to create his own rhythm, or like telling him, hey, you know what? Take a step back. Let's start focusing on the things you're doing well. And let the other guys cook. And that's where the coaching comes in. And I feel like Tibbs is not doing a good job at that.
Yeah, that you know, that's the problem with the NBA, I think, man. You know how you do that? That's very simple. It is very simple. You going out there and you shit in the bed and you acting like a punk about it, sit on the bench. But we can't do that in the NBA. Let me tell you something. Classic coaching, fundamental coaching. Julius Randle is on the bench for the last 3 minutes of the game. You play your best players. You don't play the player with the history of the best games. You play the player that has been playing well recently. In the fourth quarter, you know who you play? You play the player that played best in the third quarter and in the second quarter.
This is where we get the Wall Street rant music.
Disclaimer, okay? I do not like, I don't think gambling, right, is a good thing if you don't know what you're doing. But literally, when you put a certain player out there, it's a gamble. So what are you going to do? You're going to take he's hot right now, but I know he may miss this. Or this guy has been more proven and more successful in these moments than him. So he might not have it today, but I'm going to trust he figures it out. Right. You understand? Like, when you're in that hot seat and that game pressure's on, man, and you
coach, in the fourth so quarter, in the fourth quarter, you playing not your play.
You needed to go? You got to be fourth, like, nah, like, yo, you've been a number horse for a reason. Like, go figure it out.
Come on, man. You don't do that.
Yo, Hardenstein, I know you don't shoot pull-up jumpers, but go shoot a pull-up tonight. Like,
yo, you don't do that. You don't do that at the lower level. You don't do that at the lower levels, man. That comes in the NBA, man.
I'm telling you, go
in the NBA that comes in.
And pray that your best player is not off.
You don't play.
You start looking down the bench like, none of these motherfuckers got it. He's not that good. I never seen him do that move. Like, you know,
let me ask you this.
Patrick Ewing, when he was on Georgetown, there's a clip of you shot that shot in practice. I never see you attempt that shot. I never see you. And that's what you're asking these guys to do. Like, yo, go on the court. Like, make it happen.
Practice that shot.
Like, so why you shooting that shot?
That joint is classic. So now what you're saying is, Julius Randle, I know you practiced that shot, but I'm going to put this guy in because he's playing better than you these last 2 minutes. I understand if the right pieces are around him, but listen, the Knicks ain't got it, baby. We still trying to
coach. What about Randle's defense? Like, legit.
It's terrible.
bad.
So why does Tibbs love him so much? I mean, his defense is
slipping. Oh, because Randall got him coach of the year, and Tibbs got Randall a contract.
That's controversial.
They're married.
That's controversial too.
They're married, man. The joint that they have. Hopefully they both pack their stuff and they can, you know, ride off the sunset together. And then we keep the rest
still
of
trying to get Cat. You better all get
I was Kat so hoping. So I was so hoping that going back to Obi, I was so hoping that Obi would like flourish with the Pacers so that we could like really.
It wasn't me this time.
He has it.
But that's not happening. So we can't really blame Tiz for that.
He said, "What's it mean this time?" Oh my god! All right, well, fellas, this has been a great show. Yo, coach, you stupid. He said, "What's it mean this time?" He said, "Hey, you gotta let him go. You gotta let him go." Yo, this is a great show. You know what I'm saying? I think. Listen. It's not, you're still six games. You got four more games to go. And they might, you might win the next four. And then this is a whole different conversation.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. It's a long season. It's 82. But what's that Nipsey Hussle quote, Coach B? It's not a race. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. Right.
Slow and steady.
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race. So, you know, things can change, right? But Wall Street, you got any last words, my brother?
Oh, man. Nothing, bro. I got nothing. It's a blank.
It's a blank.
Late.
Oh, we'll come back to you. Julius Randle. Stay under 15 shots per game, son. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you get it. Honestly, if you take all 15 in the fourth quarter and that works for you, that's fine. But stay under 15 shots a game. I know you want to be that guy, but like let's ease into it. Then when you get hot, you know, and you rolling, we could probably jack those numbers back up. But stay under 15 shots a game, and to the rest of the team, Mitch, stay on the floor, play hard.
Okay, hey,
yo, Grimes, do something. That's hard.
Yo, he's not even a sixth man. He's like the
Tibbs. Look at a couple plays. Like, go on YouTube and Google plays. Thank you.
Well right, said.
Come back, man. Brunson, well keep on shooting.
Well said, Ed. Well said. Wall Street. Are you still blank or are you good to go?
I got something.
Blank space.
You ready? You ready? I got it. Bench Julius.
Bench Julius. Uh-oh. The new hashtag. Bench Julius.
Hashtag Bench Julius.
That'll fix it. Cat, you know that's how you know that's how coaching works. At the end of the day, that's NBA stuff. That's NBA stuff. Coaching is a lifestyle. Coaching is a thing. You want your player to play? Sit him down. Let's see how well he plays from the bench. He can play real good. Hey, Julius can't miss no shots from the bench. Real coaching? Julius, you can't miss no dumb shots from the bench.
Wait, he still starts, but bench him late in games.
Yeah, nah. You give up a
couple of minutes. Come off the bench. Have him come off the bench?
Yep. Nah. You don't have him come off the bench for what you do.
I'm about to say, somebody Google that.
You know what you do? You take away a couple of his minutes. That's it. They see it on the board. They see I averaged 34 minutes a night. And tonight I averaged 29 minutes a night. And I came out a little early in the fourth quarter. And my replacement came in a little. And then he ended the game. And everybody knows it's not who starts. It's who finishes. That's important. So you want to send Julius Randle a message? Sit him down for the last 3 minutes of one game, and that would have been a great game to do it. And if
he's
he would have
his rhythm,
the NBA don't work
soon.
Like that. Nah, man.
He's gonna give me 30 within the next 2 weeks. Maybe in a week.
You're gonna ask Hartenstein to come outside and start taking Julius Randle shots? No, coach. Come on, you're not asking Hartenstein to do anything else except for what Hartenstein does. And Julius Randle, and then Jalen Brunson gets a few extra shots. You're not giving all of his shots to Brunson. You're just giving half because Hartenstein is capable of putting the ball in the freaking cup 3 times in 7 minutes. You know,
if we win like that, right? Yet to be determined. Great, but realistically.
Don't happen in the NBA. It don't happen. But you know that's
how Sims in
the fourth quarter, 3 or 14. You letting your player go Your player comes into the fourth quarter 3 of 14. You're gonna let that player go 3 of 21.
He's gonna play, but he's gonna take the shots. I tell him to take
the last six games.
Let me tell you something. If Ed's daughter started taking out shots like that, Ed wouldn't even put her on the bench. Ed would have a wait in the truck. Like, yo, go wait in the car. Don't even sit on the court.
You know, Ed, tell the truth. You gotta let her keep shooting. Yes or no? Like that. Tell the truth, Ed. You gotta let her keep shooting. You gotta tell her that next one's going in.
He'd be like, she gonna be sitting with BJ.
Yo, Wall Street. How's that? We gotta take this off air.
He's shooting no matter what.
We gotta take this off.
Listen,
baby.
Listen, she gonna shoot whether her dad tells her to shoot or not. See, that girl, she got the mama, I'm telling you. But anyway, it's been a great show, y'all. We got Ed Dollars, Coach B, Austin Heck. I've been just Heck. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Peace out. Catch
SPK,
us next week.
Baby.
That's right.
See you guys.
Catch us next week, Sunday. Same time, same bad channel. Peace.
The next stop is...